Even the most level-headed of us might find ourselves looking at an old knick-knack or piece of art that's been in the family forever and you know, wonder, hey, what's that worth? Maybe it's a treasure and I just don't know it. Hi, Larry Mueller here. There are probably a lot more items in your attic whose value is strictly sentimental, but once in a while there might be a treasure hidden in there as well. There are some items that are illegal to sell, and we're going to find out about that today, among other things, as we visit with Shirley Bauman, certified personal property appraiser. She's a registered Wisconsin auctioneer, owner of Bauman Auction Services, and also Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. And Shirley, always great to see you.
Thank you. I appreciate having me back.
Well, I really love to have you here. I think most people assume that if they own something, they have the right to sell it, but that's not always true.
It certainly isn't, and I've seen my share of things along my career that have caused people concerns this way, and one of them, of course, is ivory. There are laws. The elephant populations are protected by laws, and the one we hear most often about is CITES, the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, and the Endangered Species Act itself, and of course the African Elephant Conservation Act affects both the sale and even the ownership of ivory. And in Asian ivory, that comes from Asian elephants, we're talking about that they have to be, if they're imported before 1976, then they are legal to own, but illegal to sell.
Mm.
Now, and this is for both raw and worked ivory. Worked ivory, we're talking about the carvings.
Right.
And if it's imported after 1976, and it's at least 100 years old at the time it was imported, then it's legal to own, sell interstate, and export. Now, if it's imported after 1976 and less than 100 years old at the time of import, then it's illegal.
Wow.
Now, that's for Asian ivory, and African ivory is even different. They have some stipulations between worked and raw ivory, and the dates vary. On the African ivory, if it's imported before 1989, it's legal to own, sell interstate, and export. But it's if imported after 89 and at least 100 years old at the time of import, then it's legal to own, sell, and export.
So who determines, not only for the African, but I mean, I'm wondering just in general, who or what authorities determine if there are restrictions on the sale?
Well, these are all federal acts that I mentioned, like the CITES and that. So the federal government does this. But there are also a lot of state laws that affect the sale, and especially here in Wisconsin, I see the question that comes up a lot about endangered species, like mounts. Let's say, you know, people are talking about cougar sightings around Wisconsin. What about if you know, that cougar even unintentionally gets taken in, you know, while they're trying to go deer hunting? Then is it legal to own and sell? And there are lots of laws there, and we won't go into that right now, but just on this whole ivory thing, the provenance is so important, and it's almost impossible for an individual to tell if it's African or Asian, so you need some scientific testing. So very often, I end up having to tell people in appraisals that their ivory, I'll have to say, is worth nothing because the law does not allow them to sell it.
Hmm. And there are other items. You mentioned endangered species. I know, or I've heard at least, that Nazi memorabilia, for example.
Nazi memorabilia, we can't sell that here as a historical artifact. However, there are some restrictions. For now, eBay has been, for example, barring that from being sold. It's not that we want to glorify that kind of thing, but it is a part of our history. But that's another thing. Those kind of issues come up. War relics or souvenirs, you know, from, I believe, You know, in World War II, World War I, the soldiers were encouraged to bring home souvenirs. But I think it's, I believe since the Vietnam War, that's frowned upon. And, and some of the things are not being able to be sold. They actually belong to the government.
And I know, what about human remains, body parts? None of that is...
None of that. Now, the only exceptions that, that go on, these are for research and that kind of, you know, at the university here, they in medical schools, they may need to do that. And that goes for animal parts, too. For example, in Wisconsin, it's illegal to sell any part of a bear, even the bear claws, the hide. But if it's for animal research purposes, people or the institutions can get a permit in certain instances.
Our guest today, Shirley Bauman, certified personal property appraiser and registered Wisconsin auctioneer, talking about collectibles and visiting about a little bit about those collectibles where the sales are restricted. But certainly looking forward to hearing from you. You may have something special. You wonder what it might be worth, or maybe you've got something appraised in the past and have a question about it. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show. You can post your question or comment or even photo there. We can take a look at something and maybe Shirley can make some judgments about it. Will in Appleton, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling because for quite a while now, just probably about 6 years ago, a friend gave me a jaguar skull. I like to collect little animal skulls and parts and furs and stuff, and they gave it to me, and I was kind of questioning the legality of even owning that or selling it and what it might be worth.
Well, you are right to question that because I am pretty sure... I don't know everything, certainly, but I am pretty sure that's on the endangered species list. And you can find out for sure, by going to the website of, and you can just Google, you know, federal endangered species in Wisconsin, endangered in species, endangered species law, endangered species. The DNR is the one who keeps the list in Wisconsin. And if it's on those lists, it really is not legal.
It's on either one.
To sell, yeah, if it's on either. And like I said, I don't know everything, every one of them off the top of my head, but certainly it's worth looking at, and I do think it's probably illegal to sell. I don't know about owning. Now, the truth of the matter is if it's in your home, you've gotten it, the, you know, endangered species police aren't going to burst in tonight while you're sleeping, but... I'd be real careful about doing anything with the sale of that kind of thing. And you did say your neighbor gave it to you, so that shouldn't have been a problem that way.
Yeah. And you're, as I think you were telling me earlier, most of the big cats
are on the endangered species list.
Yeah.
And they certainly are in Wisconsin because you can't have those that we don't see regularly. You know, in the Migratory Bird Act, people say, well, then why can we have ducks mounted? We see, you know, mounts from ducks or that kind of thing. Well, they're standard game animals in Wisconsin. And so they're accepted. They're here regularly, and that's acceptable. So it is something you have to look into and be aware of.
Thanks again, Will, for calling. I want to give Lori in Wausau a chance next. Lori, hi.
Hi there.
What have you got for us today?
Well, my grandmother passed away a couple of years ago, and I have some silver dollar certificates, and I know in and of themselves they aren't worth much, but these are still bound on the cardboard backing.
Okay, and who are they issued by?
Well, I would imagine the U.S.
government. Okay. Sometimes there's different names or particular agencies that are on there.
Okay.
So... are they worth anything? I actually don't know how to answer that question. And the reason is I have not taken the time, I guess, to become an expert in coins and currency. And there's many, many fine points in them. So what I would do is go to a reputable coin dealer who also deals with coins and currency to get that information or do the research on that. It's quite a different subject than the kind of antiques and art that I've been dealing with.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Lori, for calling. Dave in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Are you there?
Yeah. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I have recently acquired what I call a foot table. It's a couple of big brogans on about 3 foot long legs with all hand carved with a hand carved top to it that sits on top of those legs. It's maybe three and a half feet tall. And it was hand carved in Indonesia, I think Bali. Are you familiar with that kind of thing?
Well, somewhat, yes. And is it a newer carved piece or an antique piece?
It's hard for me to tell. I just know that it was made in Indonesia.
Yeah, and that's always the thing that can stump us when we're trying to put a value on things.
Mm-hmm.
They might be older pieces, they might be newer pieces that are specifically made for the tourist trade. Because people like to see that sort of thing, and it's traditional from the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I really can't, without more information, can't give you a specific value on it. But I would look that up on the Internet, and I think you can probably even find maybe some completed sales of similar kinds of things on eBay.
Hmm.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. What areas have you seen that have increased in interest recently, Shirley?
Oh,
what are people dying to get their hands on?
Right now, I think the hot thing is advertising.
Oh.
Old advertising, the nice old porcelain signs that tradesmen used to have outside their stores or that sell a particular product. I was in a home yesterday where the gentleman had many, many, maybe I'm exaggerating, many, metal signs that advertised all different kinds of defunct cola, many kinds of cola that I have never even heard of. And they were just adorable. They're, you know, you want a tall drink, and they had this really elongated man on a long sign about the cola. And they're just humorous and fun and bright, colorful. And in his area, they were around the kitchen dining area and just looked wonderful. But that's become a very hot item. Porcelain signs. Not so long ago at an auction, I sold a porcelain sign for a kind of oyster. It was blue and white, and the person I sold it for, and it was curved, so it fit on a post.
Oh.
And it was porcelain. And the person I sold it for told me she picked it up for $15 at a yard sale, and we sold it for about $575 at the auction. So keep your eyes open for that advertising.
Okay. Linda in Fond du Lac. Hi.
Hello. I have a question about paper dolls. I am in my mid-60s, so they are actually ones that I had growing up from the late 50s, and they've all been cut out, obviously taken really good care of because I was really careful with them. But I don't know if I should put them on eBay, if I should try to sell them at a garage sale, if I should just throw them. I mean, they have sentimental value, but honestly, they just sit in a box in a closet.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, there are people that collect paper dolls, and you hit on something with them. You said they were all cut out. The mm-hmm. uncut ones are more collectible.
Of course.
Because that ensures they're generally in really good condition. And the ones that are more valuable are those that might have been television characters at the time. Maybe, Mickey Mouse, Mickey
Howdy
and
Doody
Minnie, Howdy Doody, or, you know.
I have movie stars. I have mm-hmm. the Lennon sisters.
Sure.
I have Debbie Reynolds, Pat Boone, Janet Lennon, Annette Funicello I have.
Mm-hmm. Yep, those are collectible. But you know what? It's going to be people a little bit older that will want to collect those because I don't think young collectors would know who the Lennon sisters are anymore.
Yeah, right.
So you do have to think about that. But they're a little piece of history anyway for entertainment history. And I would think if they're in good, you said they were in good condition, I think selling them on eBay would be a great way to sell them.
Okay.
And, you know, check how other people are selling the them, and you can make groupings. You don't have to do them just one set at a time.
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's that would be the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, because, I mean, I've got probably a dozen sets, and it's going to take a long time if I try and do them individually.
Yeah. No, but you might break that into two groupings. And
okay. Okay. That's a good idea.
Sure.
All right. Hey, thank you very, very much.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Shirley Bauman, our guest, certified personal property appraiser, registered Wisconsin auctioneer. Our guest today, I'm Larry Mueller. Robin Cherry, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Having some fun talking collectibles today with Shirley Bauman, owner of Bauman Auction Services, and also of Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. Great to have her back. Thank you for listening in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Maybe you have a photo of something you want to share and ask about. Go to my Facebook page. That's The Larry Mueller Show. You can post it right there. Tim in Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. Appreciate the call.
Good. Yeah, so I'm a cellist by trade, and I've always been kind of confused by the fact that, you know, historically a lot of violin, viola, and cello bows were made with ivory frogs in different ivory components. And modern makers still like to use that look, but it's always confused me that they're not able to use real ivory, but somehow mastodon ivory is not protected. Are you aware of any change in legislation regarding that? Or I'm just kind of interested to hear your comments on that.
Well, I am not aware of any current changes. But they do use that in instruments, and you're right, in the frogs of bows and such, and that normally mastodon is not, because it's, I'm not sure exactly why. The other thing is, you talked about having the look of ivory. Sometimes they actually use bone, and people assume it's ivory. Because unless you, in many cases, unless you magnify it and look really closely, you know, it's hard to tell the difference. So it might actually be bone in some cases as well.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well,
interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Sandra in Racine, hi to you.
Hi. I was wondering, is there a market for Hummel plates anymore?
Yes. Well, I'm sorry to say that the value of Hummel plates, Hummel figurines, and all of those Hummel items in general has really gone down. Mm-hmm. There was a time when we didn't see that many available, especially in our area. You know, there were a lot of European or families of European descent, and they really treasured those Hummels and handed them down in the family. So it wasn't that common to see them readily available. But the internet has changed that a lot, and they are readily available now through the internet. And Hummel plates, you know, I have sold quite a few of them, but probably not any of them over maybe $25.
Mm. Oh,
a lot less.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sorry, didn't have better news.
Thank you for calling. Andres in Kenosha. Hello, thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
In the 60s, I spent some time in the Azores, Portuguese Azores, and I brought back some scrimshod whale's teeth, sperm whale teeth, and I'm wondering if they're legal to sell or what the deal is with them.
Well, again, this is something that if you sell them or someone sells them for you, they will have to do that research to try and determine how old they were at the time they were brought into the United States. And that's the key on these things. If they're more than 100 years old, then you're fine. If not, then you have to really question that. And a lot of scrimshaw was done a long time ago. And
right.
But it's really scientific testing that can give you the answer, unless you have a paper trail that gives you provenance, including, you know, the country of export, country of origin, the year in which the ivory was imported. It is the specific port where it entered the United States is important. And, again, the age. If you have anything on your original bill of sale.
No, this was just, you know, bought from street merchants.
Yeah. See, so that probably needs to be checked into a little closer before you just go ahead. And we don't want anybody to get in trouble for just not knowing the answers.
Yeah. Right. Would that be that government endangered species?
Yes.
Okay. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah. Sure. Thanks for calling. Connie in Portage. Hi.
Good morning. I have a sampler from the year 1800. A little 10-year-old girl made it, and it's about 12 maybe by, I'm in the car, I can't measure it, but 12 by 10 or 12 by 14, something in there. And it has like, it's not a religious, but yet it has a moralistic, it has the word virtue in it and that. And I was wondering what that's probably worth.
Well, there's a lot of things we look at with samplers, and of course, as with everything, it's condition. If it's clean, if its colors are bright, and that kind of
pretty
thing.
Good.
And then we look at how the difficulty of the stitching. Were they doing just ABCs, or were they also doing pictures of maybe a weeping willow tree with figures standing next to it? Birds,
yeah,
and
it's
animals.
It's all three. There's a saying, there's the ABCs, and there also some scenery.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that helps. And I assume the date has been stitched right in there because you said it's from the year 1800. And that's really, it's really good. The ones that are very intricate and are sought after are the ones that actually predate that just a little bit. If you've got a 17 something sampler, they're pretty much sought after, but you're close with the year 1800. And I can't put an exact value on it, but I have seen them going in. I would, you know, without even looking at it, just tell you you're in the hundreds of dollars. And I know of one out on the East Coast, actually, that a colleague of mine brokered a sale for her client. And that was one from 1798 that went for over $100,000.
Wow.
So,
oh, yeah. Well, paid $800 for it.
Yeah.
About 10 years ago.
Yeah. And you're right. A lot of the antiques have gone down, but these samplers are still holding their value. And the ones that are most valuable, you can trace to a certain area, a school, the individual who made it. So I can't tell you exactly what it's worth, but I certainly think it's a valuable piece, and you may even want to have it insured.
Thanks for calling. Eric in Endeavor, your turn. Hi, Eric.
Hello. Hey, I have two questions. One, I have some industrial smoke eaters. They come out of a welding shop. They're large. I know they're worth quite a bit of money. I just don't know how to market them. And my second question is, who are the Lennon sisters?
Lennon sisters.
Well, I can answer that one first. They were four sisters who sang together on the Lawrence Welk Show for many years and other places, but that's where they were really featured.
On his weekly television show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And smoke eaters?
Bars use small versions of them, but these are very large industrial ones. They probably weigh 100, 150 pounds a piece, and they, you know, you just rinse the filters out, and they eat up most of the smoke. They collect most of the smoke that comes up.
Sure. And those things do have a market, the earlier industrial kinds of things. And I don't really have a lot of knowledge about that particularly. I do a lot of other kinds of antiques. But if you do some searching, there are some websites on the Internet, of course, with for industrial equipment sales and vintage or antique industrial equipment. And I would Google that and start looking around. And there are auctioneers and people who specialize just in the trade of industrial heavy equipment.
Hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Cindy in Antioch, Illinois. Hi to you.
Hello.
I'm calling. I have another ivory question.
Okay.
Seems to be the subject for today. In 1977, I purchased a very small cribbage board in Alaska. It's about 2 inches by 7 inches long, and it has a photograph, not a photograph, it has scrimshaw on it of a walrus and also a sailing a ship that with a harpoon on it and walrus in the foreground and the Alaskan mountains and polar bears on it. It's not African because I purchased it in Alaska. But I have two questions. Is it legal to bring something like this back into the country if I leave the country with it? And possibly its value.
Oh, you've got give me a tough question there. That's one thing I think I'd have to research. But if it were me, I would not travel out of the country with it.
Mm.
I think unless you have proof of its age, mm-hmm. Because authorities might say, well, you're telling me it's from Alaska, but maybe it wasn't, you know?
Yeah. I suspect it's a walrus tusk.
Mm-hmm. And those, again, are endangered. I don't believe I would take it out of the country if I were you.
Okay. All right. Good.
You know, get a nice wooden one to use for your play on the plane and things.
All right. Any idea of its value?
Well, again, I hate to say value because I'm not even sure if it's legal for you to have it, to be honest, and if we or to sell it. You know, in some cases, it's legal to own but not to sell. So in this case, even though the material has an intrinsic value, if it's something that's prohibited by law to sell, then we would put down that it has zero value.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've done that.
Even though it's probably sounds pretty.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, privately, if, you know, you exchanges hands with the neighbor over the back fence, I don't think the, ivory police are going to come after you. But as far as regular sales value, I've done that with actual estate appraisals where someone here in Wisconsin owned bear claws and I had to put a zero value on it because it's not legal to sell in Wisconsin.
All right, I'll be safe instead of sorry.
Yes.
Enjoy it yourself.
Thank you, Cindy. Norm in Lakeland Hills. Hi, thanks for calling.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you. I have a privileged board also. My dad made out of ivory back when he worked in Alaska back in the 40s. 50s and 60s, and he used to carve a little thing about ivory up there, and carved his cribbage board. He passed away. It's pretty good size, weighs maybe 3-4 pounds, almost a foot long, maybe 3.5 to 4 inches wide, and I've often wondered what kind of value that it had. I took it to a local shop, and they didn't seem to be very interested in it. I almost threw it in a wastebasket. Changed my mind, and I'm still hanging on to it. I just wonder if it has any value or just intrinsic value.
Well, I think it is mostly intrinsic value because you're saying it was carved in maybe the 50s, in that period.
Back on the 50s or 60s.
60s, yeah. And it would have had to be older than that to be legal, really. So what I would do is keep it in your family if there's somebody on down the line who might appreciate something that grandpa or great-grandpa made. That's what I would do with it.
Yep. Thanks, Norm, for calling. Mary in Waukesha. Hi.
Hello. I'm interested in finding out how to sell dolls. There's a collection that has come into our home and from many, many years. For the last maybe 60, 70 years, this woman traveled and bought dolls from Europe, from China, from Japan, and elsewhere. I don't know exactly what to do with them. I'd like to be able to sell them.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any idea about how many are in the collection?
Oh, 50, 60.
Okay. I think what I would do is find an auctioneer who really specializes in vintage and antique items in the area. And you can look on Wisconsin Auctioneers Association website and find someone in your area. And I think they would do a really good job to auction them for you. And they you can also ask, do they also have online auctions where they would be exposed to more than just the local community through the Internet?
Hmm. Is that something that you've done?
I have done it. I'm not doing it right currently. I've just been involved in so many other things. But, yes, I certainly have. And when you do, sometimes they do live and online. It depends on how valuable the collection is, or even just online auctions. And
How will I find out about whether these dolls would be valued by others?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of things to do. You could find a doll expert in your area, maybe through an antique shop or something, and get an idea. Most dolls, now, I don't know this about all the foreign dolls you mentioned, but a lot of them will be labeled under their hairline, the back of their head under the hairline and at the neck. And that you could look up those names on the Internet and see if they're sought after. And that's a good way to go about it. You could hire an appraiser to give you an idea. Or if you find an auctioneer who specializes in these and who is willing to take on your collection and sell them on your behalf, they should do the appropriate research.
Yep. There you
go. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Let's turn to Paul in West Bend next. Hi, Paul.
Hello. What would preclude you from asking for a donation? Let's say I have a chess set, which clearly is there some ivory on it and these small Stoughton design pieces. And you just say, want a donation of X dollars. Wouldn't that preclude and circumvent the law?
Well, that's a tough question. I guess you'd have to look at who are you donating it to? Are you going to want to take a tax deduction for the donation?
Mm-hmm.
Are you just sharing it with, like I said, the neighbor over the fence locally? There's a lot of questions there, and I guess I'm not going to give you a complete answer there because I don't want to get myself in trouble either.
Okay, there you go. Thanks, Paul. Tony in Appleton. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good. Appreciate the call.
I got this jardiniere from my mom who got it from her grandma, and it stands like 3.5 feet tall. I got the base with the actual pot, and all I know about it is that it's light blue and it has white irises on it, and it was made in Ohio. Now, I don't know anything else besides that, and I was wondering if your guest had any information on where I can go to look up more info about jardiniers and if they were mass-produced or...
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And what are jardiniers, by the way, Shirley?
Jardiniers are large, basically flower pots that stand on a tall base. And we see those a lot. He mentioned being made in Ohio. Roseville Pottery was one that made a lot of them, and they were out of Zanesville, Ohio.
And you that's what my grandma had said something about Roseville, and I didn't know if it was a maker or a person or
Roseville is the company. And you should be able to look under the bottom of the pot and see if it says Roseville in script or whatever other name it might say. Rookwood was out of that area. It could probably will have the name under it. And then you can look it up by the name. And those are very sought after in real good condition. Pottery collectors love them because oftentimes either the pot or the base is broken and they don't have both pieces together. So
my neighbor looked at it. My neighbor had taken a look at it and he said that he had never seen one that size with the pedestal and the pot together. And that kind of piqued my interest. Like, wow, I wonder what came into my living room here. So
sure.
I'll definitely check that out.
Yes, do so. I think it's pretty special.
Yeah. Thank you for calling, Tony. Ruth and Nina, hi.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I don't have any questions about ivory. I don't own any. But I do have a small casserole dish. They told me it was Flow Blue, and it is from England, and it's called Beauty Roses. And it says W.H. Grinley and Company. Uh-huh. And I'm wondering if there's any value to that.
Mm-hmm. Grindley is a company, as you said, from England that's quite well known for making mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And when you say flow blue, that describes the decoration of it.
Yes, yeah, blue and white. And it's,
yes.
Uh-huh. And it's got a little gold trim on it.
Mm-hmm. And the white is the base, and then it's got the blue design on it. And
yeah.
the color of the blue isn't real sharp. It kind of flows into the white color. That's where
yes.
they call it
uh-huh.
flow blue. And okay. that's intentional. That's
oh,
not a
okay.
mistake. That wasn't that it wasn't printed clearly. And so that's intentional. And unfortunately, flow blue has gone down quite a
okay.
bit in collector
okay.
value.
Uh-huh.
There was a time when I would say, oh, a covered casserole could be worth, oh, $150 or more,
mm-hmm.
$200. But nowadays, I would say more like $25 to $50.
Okay, okay. I was just wondering, I've had it for probably 50 years already.
Yeah. You know, the collecting area is a market. Sometimes it's very popular, and then people are willing to pay a lot for it because they want one of those popular items right now.
Yeah.
And then it kind of goes down again.
For some reason, I have two covers with it, and I don't know why. I mean, I guess I must have got it from my mother-in-law that many years ago.
Well, I would guess that there were originally two dishes.
Okay.
And one of the dishes broke, and the cover's left.
Okay, thank you much.
Yeah, thanks, Ruth, for calling. Appreciate it. Shirley Bauman, our guest today. She's a certified personal property appraiser and a registered Wisconsin auctioneer. Our guest here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us as we talk collectibles today with our guest, Shirley Bauman, certified personal property appraiser and registered Wisconsin auctioneer, comes by every so often. We always have a lot of fun with her when she's here. You may have a question about something that you would like to place a value on, or maybe you just want to know a little bit about it. You can call with a question at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org. Or post a photo on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Certainly love to hear from you. And on Facebook, Gina sent us a photo. I'd like to have this bracelet appraised. I'm having problems locating any information on it. And it's hard from the picture to really, for at least for me, to tell much about it, Shirley.
Well, it is for me, too. It looks like it might be a bangle bracelet, and she may have just set something inside it to kind of give us an idea of the size. So I can't quite tell. But in jewelry in general, what you want to do first is look inside with a magnifier. And if you can see a marking on there, that might help. It might be a marking of 10K, 14K, sterling, that tells you the metal. It might say 925, and that would indicate that it's sterling, and that's that it's 92.5% silver. So some people aren't aware of that. It might give you that information. It might say something like EPNS, which would stand for electroplated nickel silver, which is a silver-plated piece. So you want to look for those, and it also might have a maker's name inside. Vintage jewelry that's made by a known maker and signed usually brings higher prices because they're proud of their work and wanted to sign it. Mm. So those are things you can do. And then if you're finding anything in that order, the thing of a bracelet, any piece of jewelry I can't see on this bracelet, if there are gemstones in it, you need to have a gemologist look at it or a jeweler who is a gemologist. For example, there are antique jewelry appraiser here in Madison that I often work with because I'm not a gemologist, but I can appraise vintage costume jewelry. But I can't really tell you the quality of a diamond or an amethyst even. So it depends on what you have. So if there's gemstones, make sure you take it to a jeweler. Look for those marks. If it's, 14, 18, whatever karat gold, then you definitely want to have a specialist look at it.
Leslie on Facebook says, I have a number of, is it Majolica?
Majolica.
Majolica pieces that I've been thinking of selling. What I've seen on eBay, there wasn't much of a market for it. Then I found Ruby Lane sites, the site, and there the prices are, I guess, better. Do you think this is a good time to sell Majolica, and is the internet the best place?
Well, the Majolica is, just to describe it for people who aren't familiar, it's usually a very, it's a ceramic, and it's usually got a very high relief design. It may show, a lattice, crisscross lattice design with flowers on it, for example, and they'll be really raised away from the pottery and glazed, of course, and that kind of thing. We see that a lot in pitchers and plates and vases. Oh, it might show a big leaf. I had a lady who had leaf plates all around the top of her dining room, and she would tell me, I think I cornered the market on the leaf plates. And I was very proud of her nice collection. They are down in collector value and price right now. What you see on eBay is often what the actual selling price ends up for, especially if you look on eBay at the completed sales. When you look at Ruby Lane, which she mentioned, which is a website of antique sales, they're usually asking for pretty high prices. What you might see in a retail store doesn't mean that they always get that price. And they are high, and when I do research on things, I always consider them, but I would never consider them to be necessarily just the only place I'd look for what's called a fair market value, which means what it actually takes to exchange an item between a willing buyer and a willing seller, how much it takes. So you have to be careful about that. And a lot of people also look at replacement sites on the internet, you know, china, glass, silver replacements. And that helps us with insurance values more than fair market values. So generally, you know, sometimes they've got a following and people just want that and they will pay those prices. But a lot of times they do wait and negotiate with a seller or something like that, or wait till maybe it goes down, watch it. So the market isn't great as it was. It was very high for a while and it's down. And if I were enjoying the Majolica right now, I think I'd keep it and see what happens to the market.
Ted in Boyd, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I've got a Estes pump organ, somewhere around the 1915 to 1917 that we dated it at, like through the internet. In pretty good shape. Everything works on it. Just kind of curious what it would be worth.
Well, give me a little bit of description. Does it have a big, tall back that's heavily carved and maybe have candle shelves on it? Or is it low?
The candle shelves are missing on it. It's probably about 3.5 feet tall. The back is all carved on it. It's got a real nice-looking back.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about 4.5 feet long.
Okay. A pump organ like that can be a difficult thing to sell, and I had one some years ago, actually, already, that was quite plain. And I had it at auction a couple times, and it did not sell. And we ended up donating it to an historical society and taking a tax deduction for the donation value of it, and they were restoring an old church, so it fit into the what they were doing. The thing is, someone has to want the organ, have the space for it, especially when it's got a big, tall back like that, and the maybe even be a person who plays it. So it can be a hard thing to sell. And in my opinion, a nice one, you said it's missing the candle shelves. It can be, you know, in probably in the hundreds of dollars, but not into $1,000. So I think it would be under that. And again, if you can actually find a buyer for it, if that's your intention, you might be just as well doing a donation and taking a tax deduction.
Yep.
My intentions are to keep it because I don't think I'll ever find another one. I found it in a garage.
You're right.
And bought it at a thrift sale, so it's more of a conversation piece than anything, but I just always kind of curious what it might possibly be worth.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
Okay, thank you much.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. We have Tom in Muscadet up next. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. I have two old advertisements you would see walking into the old-time grocery stores. One says welcome fresh baby Ruth candy. The other is thank you call again Wrigley Spearmint. And then on the back it says again thank you call again Curtis baby Ruth candy. The baby Ruth has two young children sitting under a yellow umbrella with a dog saying let it rain. And Wrigley's is just the, doesn't say any price or anything, just the spearmint. They're in the glass. They were in the door when the store was sold back in the 70s. I cut them out and then put them in some stained glass and put them in a wood frame.
Okay.
And I guess I'm just, there's sentimental value, of course, but I'm just wondering if anything like that is really valuable.
They're paper?
They were the paper that you stuck to the door.
Okay.
When you walked in, you saw the advertisement, and when you left, it's
okay.
I said, thank you, call again.
And as you got them from the glass, were they able to remain intact?
Yes, they are.
Okay, and about what size?
Well, no, I didn't peel them from the glass.
Okay.
They are the glass.
All right, okay.
And I framed them. So.
About what size?
The size would be, the baby Ruth is probably 8 or 10 inches by 14, maybe, inches.
Okay.
The Wrigley's is a... octagonal maybe, and 3 inches at the top and the bottom. The sides would be 4 inches, but...
Okay.
Okay.
Well, your larger one is you know, people always like the larger things, and they're,
uh-huh.
they can be seen better. They display nicely. And, you know, you might go in, the, if it's in really good condition, in the $100 to maybe even $150 for that,
okay.
and probably a little less for the smaller one.
Okay.
Again... Those are known products, and that's important.
Any idea
to collectors.
I'm guessing the 1950s.
Okay, that wouldn't
sure.
surprise me, and that's okay. that sounds like a really good 40s, 50s
yeah,
era from that.
They're colorful and they're fun. So.
Yeah,
yeah
okay.
wonderful.
Thank you for that information.
Yeah,
sure.
thanks, Tom. Teresa in Heartland. Hi.
Hello. She said I can quickly ask about three different things. I have. Old records, like from Elvis and the Beatles, and I've got an old sewing machine, a free Westinghouse, and I've got several floor looms for weaving.
Several what? I'm sorry?
Looms for weaving.
Looms.
Oh,
okay.
looms. Okay.
All right. Well, let's talk about records a little bit first. It's real hard to put a value on them like this because what you look for in records is, of course, the condition, and you look for the label, which tells you what company produced it. And sometimes, for example, Elvis might have gone with one company and then he switched and it might be the first record with a different company and that might make it more valuable. So there are a lot mm-hmm. of little fine points that you want to look at that way. And also
in the case in the cardboard
that you look at too. Mm-hmm. What's on the cover of it? How it looks? There are some that have been reproduced. You know, in the Beatles, there's one. I think it's the Meet the Beatles album that had in excellent condition can go for you know quite a lot of money. And so it was therefore reproduced a lot. But the original one, you can tell on the cover, it has shadows behind the Beatles. The lighting wasn't good. It was early 60s. Well, the new ones, they're digital, and they make them without the shadows. They want to make them really good, and they made them too good. So those are fine points you need to look at for them. And again, those sleeves need to be in really good condition. So some of those with Elvis, the Beatles, and well-known people like that can be valuable records, but I just can't give you a price over the air without looking at all the details.
Mm-hmm.
And the sewing machine, is that an electric sewing machine?
Yeah, it's a free Westinghouse electric sewing machine. The wires are bad, but it mm-hmm. I can still have it turn on, but...
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't know if there's an easy way of replacing the wires that would make
sure sense. you can rewire electrical appliances, and it just depends a lot. Now the sewing machines that are more valuable, the heads of them are small, and the crossbar is really arched, like almost a half circle of an arch. And if they're black with gold, which often the Singer and New Home and those were, they'll be more valuable than one that's just, you know, straight across on top. The Singer Featherweight sewing machine, which is one of the early portables, they can go for $300 and more dollars. The Westinghouse doesn't really have quite the same name in sewing machines, so I don't think it would be particularly valuable. And again, it makes a difference of the style of the body.
And the looms are
1949. That one.
Yeah, and that's not real early for an electric sewing machine. So I don't think you have something of very particular value there. Most of the sewing machines don't hold a lot of value. Mm-hmm. And looms, are they large, mm-hmm. small handles?
There's one that is casting loom when the zip code was only two or three numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's an old one. I'll tell you what, we'll ponder that.
Yeah.
And we'll take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with our guest, Shirley Bauman. You stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If someone told you that you could appear on Antiques Roadshow, what would you take? Have you always wondered whether something you have is worth a lot of money or maybe its value is only sentimental? Hi, Larry Mueller here. Shirley Bauman with us today. She's a certified personal property appraiser, registered Wisconsin auctioneer, owns Bauman Auction Services and Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. I have some links to her businesses on my Facebook page just at the Larry Mueller Show. She comes by a few times a year to help us understand the value of things that we've collected. Certainly always a pleasure, Shirley. Thanks for being with us again today.
Oh, my pleasure.
We have Teresa from Heartland who had some looms that she wanted to sell.
And looms, you know, you're talking probably shuttle looms made out of maple wood, probably nice hardwood. And if it's a floor standing model, I think she mentioned a code on it that made it not a very, very old piece, more vintage than antique. And I would think she's maybe in the $200 to possibly up to $300 range. The ones that are really valuable are the old, maybe 1800s tape looms where they made narrow tapes and mm-hmm. were actually quite decorative. Those can go into the thousands.
Okay, there we go. John in Wisconsin Rapids, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello, Larry. Shirley, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a stone that I found 10, 12 years ago in a gravel pit, approximately 65 feet down. It's a white stone, and it has an impression on it, which it's a facial impression. It's kind of looks like a skeleton face on it. The stone is white, and the impression is actually outlined in a darker color mineral.
Hmm. Wow.
Boy, that's something I can't speak to right on air. I don't know if it's a Native American piece, if it's a fossil that, you know, ends up looking like what you're describing. So I'm just kind of lost on it. And you might want to look, if you're going to do some research, look under Native American items, but I'm just kind of at a loss. I'm sorry.
I wonder if somebody from the Wisconsin Geology Museum.
Yeah, that might be a good place to go with it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd be very, very tempted to even take a nice photo of it, a good mm-hmm. digital photo, and you know, post it to them.
Mm-hmm.
They might be able to give you some help.
And when you do that, also indicate the size. The size of the stone.
That's the Wisconsin Geological
Museum. It's here at the university.
At the UW-Madison.
Madison.
Mm-hmm. All righty. I know my wife wants me to get rid of it. She says it's creepy. She don't want me to keep it.
Well, it may wind up, you know, whether or not you sell it, but you might even donate and you might be able to to get, I would think, Shirley, some value.
Value as a tax deduction for it if you donate it, if it's something, you know,
something that's really different. Yeah. Good luck, John. Thanks. Nancy in Duluth, Minnesota. Hi to you.
Hello. I have, I was blessed to inherit my paternal grandparents' Sterling flatware. They were married in 1925. It is complete, serves for 12 Wallace, and it does say Wallace Sterling on the back. And for the life of me, I do not remember the pattern. It is very ornate, and I think it is their top-of-the-top pattern. It's like, okay, what's your favorite song? Don't know, and all of a sudden, I can't remember the pattern. But there are 11 serving pieces, and with those, I think the entire piece is sterling, whereas with, like, the placed knives, the blades appear to be stainless.
Yes.
Which, to me, makes a lot of sense. You know, they're going to get a different kind of wear and tear.
Mm-hmm.
With serving pieces, this looks like a cold meat fork. There are two ladle sizes. There's a little pickle fork. There's a pierced, that's really short. That's about the size in length of the pickle fork.
Okay, there that's probably what they call a bonbon spoon for the little, the piercings are to shake the sugar off of the little sweet.
Heaven forbid.
Mm-hmm.
So what? So I'm wondering, was there some value to these? Sure.
Oh yes, there is definitely, and you know, sterling. The minimum value is what it would weigh, and placed against what the spot value of silver is today. And you are right to talk about the knives that way because they're not solid silver. They have a stainless blade, and the handles may or may not be hollow. And then there's a screw that attaches the blade to the handle. So the knives are a little different story when you're weighing them. But otherwise, you can weigh the pieces and go to a minimum melt value there. Now, I know that's not what you want to do, and I'm glad you don't. I have a feeling that so many...
My family wanted to take it.
Yeah.
So bad to my head, I deserve it.
So many, well, many people aren't doing wanting silver right now because they don't want to polish it. And in this economy, a lot of the sets have, and the high price of silver, a lot of things have been melted down. So I have a feeling, this is just my guess, that in the future, some of these antique pieces of silver might be worth more because there are fewer left after so many have been melted down. Now, a fair market value will be a little different than a replacement value. Replacement value on a full set, is it a set for 12 or 8?
12, I think.
12.
And you had a lot of serving pieces, which are always worth more than the place setting pieces. But you could be in the insurance value in, you know, 2,000 to 4,000 or more value. Being Wallace is a known company, and I don't know, again, it depends on the pattern and all of that, but you could definitely have something that you would want to, you know, insure for, you know, several thousands of dollars.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Nancy, for calling. And Judy in Lodi, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Judy.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have these felt, they're patterns of flags. From way back, they used to give out when they sold cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all different countries, including the United States. And it also has a Union Jack on it, on some of them. And I've never been able to find anything. I've contacted several tobacco companies, and they've never gotten back to me. And they're in mint condition. And they've even got flags from Brussels on there, Indonesia, Cuba. And some of the flags I know have changed, like the German flag changed.
Yep.
And, I mean, they're really pretty. They were my great-grandma's, and she left them to me. So,
well, you have something that's desirable as a collectible. People like those. Again, it kind of crosses into the advertising area with cigarettes, even though it doesn't actually promote a cigarette. We know that's where it's from. And sometimes they had items that came in silk. And, of course, these flags were felt, as you'd say. And
yeah, I had silk ones, and I sold them accidentally.
Oh.
They were all hand-painted, every one of them.
Yeah. Oh. Well, don't sell these accidentally. I think you have the more, you know, you have of the set. Actually, the company that produced them, which I don't know which it is off the top of my head, but we could probably research, could probably tell you how many they made. And if they made, I don't know, 20 or 40 or whatever, the more you have of the set, the more valuable it would be. As an individual, you know, a little felt kind of a flag might be in the 50 or more a piece.
Yeah.
And don't use that number as this is what it is, because I haven't seen them. But I think that they can be, you know, added up to quite a valuable little set.
There you go. Good luck.
They're about 9 by 12.
Oh, they're even bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're big.
All right. So I would, yeah, you've got something real nice there.
Thanks, Judy. Good luck. Thank you for calling. Chris in Norwalk, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
Well, about 20 years ago, I inherited some china from my great-grandmother. And when you flip it over, there are no markings on any of the pieces. And I'd like to know more about them. She was from Norway. She came over when she was 16, in the late 1800s, early 1900s. She brought with her some Porsgrunn, if I'm saying that correctly, china as well. This stuff is very delicate. It's blue with lilies of the valley. It's shaped like the teacups are octagon, the saucers are octagon. Lots of intricate. My grandmother told me it was, you know, real gold. I don't know if it was 14 karat or 24 karat, you know, etchings around the rims. And it's just very delicate and beautiful. And I have no way of finding out the maker.
Well, you might try replacements.com on the internet. What they do for you, if you give them really good pictures and nice close-ups of the pattern and they want to see the shape of the plate and that kind of thing, they can do some research for you. And the reason they do that, of course, is the idea of maybe it's something special that they might want to buy from you to resell. But they do have an identification service that you can try.
Huh.
And that's replacement.com.
Replacements. LTD, I think, replacementslimited.com.
With an
yeah.
S.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I really appreciate that. It's been something I've been working on for years. I've asked everybody I could think of, and that's a good lead. I'm going to take you up on that.
Yeah,
one.
Try that. They have thousands of records and patterns and things. So.
And why would it not have a marking underneath? Does that mean it's more rare? I mean, I don't want to sell this. I don't care what it's worth. It's just the sentimental value. I want a history on it.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's more rare. It might mean that it was a startup company that didn't have their stamp yet, that you know, didn't have their logo, how they wanted to stamp it, and they made some and they just went out. There's also the possibility that it was that a lot of companies sold blanks. They made the white porcelain and sent it to another company to decorate.
Okay.
And so it could have even been that, you know, a decorator did those and they never put their own stamp on because it came out from several different companies. The maker,
okay.
The decorator, the importer, exporter. There's a lot of people involved and everybody thought the other person would put a stamp on it,
sure.
I guess.
Yeah. Well, that helps. I mean, at least it gives me somewhat to, because people always comment when they see it. I have it on display. At least now I can kind of give them a little bit more to the story.
There you go. Good luck, Chris. Thanks a lot for calling. David in Beaver Dam. Hi.
Hello. I have a paperweight about 60 years old or more. It's a General Electric logo item with the major appliance personage
on it? Or
are you talking maybe Ready Kilowatt?
No.
No, not Ready.
No, major appliance.
Okay.
The drum major hat.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes.
And the epaulettes on the shoulders?
Yes, yes.
And I was wondering where I would go to find a value on it.
Well, if it were me, I would start by going to eBay.
Okay.
And do an advanced search. And put the name there, just what you told me, and then click on completed sales, or completed listings, I think they call it. And that will tell you what something like that actually sold for, not what people are asking.
Yeah. General Electric gave this out to their sales force. You know, my father got it in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And when he was in the appliance business.
Sure.
60-some years ago.
Yeah. It sounds like a very nice piece because the dealers got these and maybe they gave them out to their special customers or at holiday time or something.
Right.
And being advertising, product that's still around, you probably have something real nice there. I'm guessing that it might be in maybe the $70 to $120 range.
Okay.
It's a guess.
It's not in mint condition.
Well, that will take it down, bring it down.
Okay, there you go. Thanks, David. Appreciate it. Carol in Menominee, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Yes, I have two maps that I just recently inherited, pull-down maps, like old-school maps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One is from 1940, and it's a world map. And then the other one is from 1956, and it's a map of Asia, and it's it's the really colorful
topographical.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Just kind of wondering. Well, one, I kind of did a search to see who I would talk to about maintaining them, but then also kind of what type of value would something like that be.
Well, the old school maps have a little less value than what would be considered a tabletop or a pocket map because of they're hard to display.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people who would want these were maybe a historical society or someone who's doing a restoration of an old schoolhouse, that kind of thing. And 40s and 50s, while they're vintage, they're not real old yet, and there's certainly been changes in countries and boundary lines and things like that. But the ones that really are pretty valuable are much earlier. A while back, I sold a Wisconsin Territory map from I think it was 1838, that was actually a pocket map. It felt folded up into a little booklet, and that one was like $1,700. Yours, I think, are going to be more in the maybe the $100 range, or depending on condition, they can be even less, because, like I say, they aren't quite that old yet, and they're hard to display.
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
Yep. Thanks, Carol. Willem in Colfax. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. I was wondering about a plate, like a rose mauling plate, is 16 inches in diameter, and it's by Per Lindsay or something. I think he died in 1947.
Yes.
The Stoughton area.
You've got the right name. You've got. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Are those valuable?
Well, you've got the right name on it, and that was going to be the question I asked, if it was signed. And Per is.
It's signed on the back.
Yes, and he's credited with being the person who really brought the rose mauling to the United States.
Yeah, and he had the open style, I think it is.
Yes. Yes. And so his works are sought after more than, just grandma's crafting rose mauling.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have those plates and the sign name, I've sold them in the $100 to $140 range at auction for people.
Right.
So, nice piece.
Nice piece.
And that's been a while ago, so they may have gone up a little bit, too.
Jackie in Milwaukee, hi, thanks for calling.
This is going to sound like a really weird
My mother was born in 1895. I'm in my 80s. I have crystal necklaces, jet, whatever, anything, costume, jewelry. What I was told, I've changed insurance companies. They want to have me find out how much they are going to, they would be, so that it could go on my policy. Would it be a better idea? Maybe I only have one son, which could make a difference. Would it be a better idea to just give it all to my son and daughter-in-law right now and work it through themselves?
It depends whichever one you... It depends whichever one you want to do. What they're trying to do is determine what is the value of this costume jewelry. And nicer costume jewelry has really gone up and become more collectible and in the vintage market. And so they don't quite know how much it should be insured for, so they want to schedule it. So it would cost you something to insure that, and you'd probably need an appraiser to do the appraisal so they know how much it's worth.
Yeah.
Now,
well,
if you give...
This isn't all costume jewelry. It's real crystal, real jet, a whole bunch of other things.
That sounds interesting.
Sure. And you can also give it to your son, and then it would be up to your son to get that valued and put on his insurance if he'd wanted to do that.
So, Jackie, if you're not planning to wear it yourself?
Yeah, be a nice thing to give it. Give it on to the, pass it on in the family and let them enjoy it.
That's what I think. Thanks, Jackie. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much. We have Judy and Racine. Judy, you have a quick one.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a framed photo. It's 11 and a half, or I shouldn't say photo. It's 11 and a half by 14, a picture of General Douglas MacArthur. And it hung in my grandma and grandpa's house for a long time, and grandma wrote on the back, General MacArthur, 1942. And she cared enough about it to have it framed by a frame company in Oshkosh. So I was just curious.
Well, you say it's a picture. We want to determine what kind of picture. First you mentioned photo, and then you said it's not a photo. So is it a picture like from a magazine? Or...
No, I don't think so. It seems to have a linen texture to it.
Okay. It might be a print of this picture. And they, for a while, they did prints on linen textures, or even they did them on kind of a board and then made a texture on it to make it kind of look like a painting. But... that's the thing. We'd have to look if it's a painting or not. Probably not a real high value on it. I would say maybe $25 to $50 or something like that. Without his autograph, it doesn't bring a lot of money.
Thank you for calling, Judy. And Shirley, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Well, thank you. It's been great fun.
Shirley Bauman, owner of Bauman Auction Services and Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services, and you can find links to her services on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show and you will find them right there. Thank you very much for listening, and please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.